Warning: the following contains biblical content, raw gospel, sudden and spontaneous worship, and something not preached everywhere: the Word of God. This is church formatted for the internet. Coming up next, now here they are, saints on a mission from God.
As Paul said, take these teachings that you've heard him proclaim, trust them to reliable people who will be able to teach others. What is the gospel but of first importance in the Christian way of life? And then he goes on to say what that gospel is, that Christ died, he rose again, and for our sins, took all that upon himself. And that yes. would segue into what we were going to talk about, God's love.
Yeah, why don't we start out, I always Kevin always knows, I always like to start out in prayer.
Yep.
You know,
good.
To kind of set the tone and invite people in. And so I'd like to pray.
Yep.
Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to share your love with all those people that are listening on the internet. Lord, our only goal is to present you and to glorify you. So Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, and we surrender ourselves, everything that we would say or do. We want it to be bathed in your love, in your word, so that people hear clearly the gospel and how much you love them and why, Father God, you sent Jesus to die for us so that we could have a relationship with you. So I just thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for Don joining us today, Lord. I just pray a blessing over him. Father, lead and guide us in all that we do today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Dawn rises.
Yep.
The sun rises every morning, see?
That's right.
I am awed by what my name actually means, and I actually don't tell people this, but I'll say it this time. Don actually means king of the universe, and wow, I'm not the king of the universe, God is.
Yeah, right.
So maybe I need to change my name.
That's good. Well, Jesus did change people's names, you know, he call you sons of thunder or different things, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's an awesome name.
It is, it's just overwhelming, but I've never taken it seriously.
No.
This is a great topic we have for today.
Yeah. Sandy, you want to start out with your opening paragraph or whatever?
Yeah, the focus.
Verse.
The focus today, people that are here and listening, is to focus on God's love, which is his very nature. And he commands us to love others because God is love. And this was what was always important for me to hear, is that we can only love others because he first loved us. And I have to let that sink in. We can only love others. We can't give away anything to other people that we haven't received from God, period.
That's right.
We cannot give anything away. How can we tell that we love God? We could look at 1 John 4:7-21. It's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Picked out some, but I mean, it's all good. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Boy, that's pretty clear. Anyone that does not love, wow. I mean, I am just reading this, and I have to stop. You know, I mean, I have to stop and let that sink in. Does not know God, anyone who does not love, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Wow. So we have to receive the love, and because of that, we are to love one another. And it's, you know, it's a period. It's not a question mark. It isn't like, gee, do I have to love everybody? Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I'm reading. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him. That means we are in him, that he is with us, that he is in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him. So it's necessary to confess that he is the Son of God, and he is in he and God. So we have come to know that to believe the love that God has for us, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love. I love that. No fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Period. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
I think that, yeah, some translation says perfect love casts out all fears.
Fear. Right. Yeah.
All.
All. I always like it when I'm reading in the Bible where it says all, because it's like, it's indisputable. All means all.
That's
all
right.
Means all. I did a study in the Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and there are so many alls in there that it's, I just did a study in that, and whoever is listening, take a look at that sometime in Ephesians. I suppose we could do that in a future podcast.
Yep, definitely.
If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother.
I think one of the struggles we sometimes get into is that we try to define love for God. In other words, we have our definitions of love, and because God does not conform to those definitions, we think he doesn't love us. Mm. And I think we need to realize God's love is perfect, but it doesn't mean we always understand it. And it may look very different. I mean, Christians go through tough times, and it would be easy to say, what did I do wrong? Why doesn't God love me anymore? Well, he does. It's just that he knows a whole lot more about the situation than we do. So love might look different to us from what we expect. Hmm. And I'm starting to preach, aren't I?
That's all right.
Things go wrong. People interpret that as God is punishing me for something.
Right.
And that's a debatable topic, but I don't believe God sets out to punish us.
Yeah. What are some practical expressions of love that maybe we Christians need to work on some more?
Well, why don't you give one of those examples, Don?
Well,
yeah.
Sometimes it's easy to want to exclude people from our fellowship or from our being together. Think about it. Here's a guy that is maybe a murderer. He's been to prison and he's a murderer. Would you want him to have fellowship in your church or in your group? And it would be very easy to say, well, maybe I can love this guy or this woman by just praying for them. But do they really need to be in our fellowship together?
Right.
And, you know, that sounds like a real problem, like it's something that we would really struggle with, except that St. Paul was responsible for murders, and it was no wonder that the early church was a little hesitant about accepting him. But then he goes on to write half of the New Testament.
That's right.
So maybe we better be careful about excluding murderers.
That's right.
Well, I can give actually a personal example, because I've been involved in a Bible study at the local jail, and I've actually been in fellowship with two murderers. And when I tell people about that, they kind of look at me and they think, well, how could you do that? Well, because I saw changed lives. They came in.
Right.
They came in. This one man stabbed his wife 17 times in front of their little daughter. And through the process of ministering to him or sharing God's love with him and saying what the word is, he came to know who Jesus Christ was and accepted him as Savior. And he was a changed man. He was a changed man. I was thankful to have fellowship with him. Totally acceptable. That would blow other people's minds. I mean, it wow. would. I mean, he was sent from the jail because, I mean, he did kill his wife. And we were praying for him and coming alongside him because he was being used in the jail to share the gospel with others. I mean, here he is, a murderer, you know, but his life has been changed. And that's why we have to, you know, we have to believe that God changes lives. I'm an example of that. You know, we're all examples of how he's changed our lives. And to have fellowship, that's why there's other things that I've been involved with that we need to have God's perspective of what has happened in a person's life. And we have to see people from that everyone we meet is made in God's image. And things happen. Life happens and tragedies happen, but God is in the practice of changing lives. And I can have fellowship with that man or with those two men because they had turned over, they had changed their lives. They were on a new track and they knew who they were and they were being used in a mighty way in jail. And I'm sure they're being used in the prison.
Yeah, Liz and I were asked, you know, how can you worship with those people? And that came from a man with the title pastor.
Wow.
It's a human nature to separate groups.
Yeah, human nature separates us. God unifies. God brings us correct. Together.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's true.
Yeah. I have a question, and it is a personal question, sort of question. Loving people means you forgive them. If they have done wrong things. And Jesus even said 70 times 7, which wasn't meaning that you limit it to 490, but that you keep on forgiving.
Yep.
But I have to confess, sometimes it's hard for me to forgive people. And I have read the scriptures about forgiveness and about enemies and I've actually taken some of those verses and made them into prayers that I pray. And, you know, I can forgive them and I can say, okay, God, that's done. That's over with. Let me just try to move on with my life. And then a few weeks later, I start getting agitated again. And I start feeling like, oh, that person, that. And I have to stop and say, oh, wait a minute, I forgave them. And so I will pray some of those prayers that I've adapted from scripture, you know, that get at that forgiveness again. And I, you know, it's okay, I've forgiven them. I've asked God to forgive me for resentments and that sort of thing. And then down the road, it happens again. Is there anything that I'm missing there that will help me to forgive people better?
There you go, Kevin.
You got an answer? Yeah, I've struggled with that myself, you know, resenting or thinking bad of the pastor that told me, how can you worship with those people? So I start in my own mind basically tearing down his ministry in my mind because of that. And then I realized, no, this is not Christ-like, definitely. So I don't think there's a magic number. That's why it's you got to keep forgiving, because Christ knew that we'd have these, you know, worldly thoughts or selfish thoughts that we want to remain the victim and that they're the bad guy, or evidently if it's 7 times 70, that a number nobody could count, even you couldn't remember. If am I on 500? or 650, you know. when will I be done with this? But yeah, in Ephesians it talks about perfecting the saints and that we'd come to that perfection upon the return of Christ. Mm. So I think that's That's part of it there. We're not perfect yet.
I think
when it comes to forgiveness, he created us in his image, and his image is mercy, and his image is forgiveness and wholeness. And so we were never meant to carry those things and to keep, because unforgiveness will bring bitterness and judgment and all sorts of things. And you can literally feel that in your body. So it's like at those times when that happens, we have to just remember to keep giving it to Jesus Christ, because he says, I will take those burdens. I will take those things on. You were never meant to carry those things. He's able to carry those things. It's only if we think we're in control, you know, it's only if we think we're in control that that those things are brought about. But it's like, we're going to keep getting those opportunities if we haven't released that to Jesus Christ. I mean, really released it and said, no, I'm not going there anymore. That isn't in my heart. I am going to respond to that person with a heart of God. And here it is again about how we are to behave. And it says, anyone who doesn't love doesn't abide in him, doesn't abide in God. So because God is in love, if we abide in him, if we are walking with him, if we are trusting him, if we are hearing from him, then he will give us what we need to be free. Because as we know, Christ came to set us free, and that's what he wants us to be free. And unforgiveness is not freedom. So I don't know if that helps at all, Don, but it's, you know, it's like, well, that's what I have done, is that I have to give it to him. And then the thing is, the enemy will cause us to remember those things and remember those things. Is, oh, I got you again. I got you again. Yeah. And you just say, no, that I've forgiven him. I've forgiven her. And that's gone. So devil, the enemy, shut up and leave this situation, because you're a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning. And I know who I am in Christ, and I'm not going to listen to those voices anymore. So,
The big lie is, you know, we're not worthy.
Yes.
And that's where it comes into our thinking, well, did I forget to do this, or did I,
right,
you know, is there something I failed to do to gain God's love? But I love in Romans where it says, you know, who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ?
Yes.
My lack of forgiveness will tribulation, you know, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or swords. And then it goes on to say, just as it is written and forever remains written, for your sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us, he still loves us so much that he died for us. And, you know, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We are worthy. We are, you know, if we get up and we can say these three words that change the world, Jesus loves you.
Yes.
He is our friend and savior.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe it's a part of God's love that he reminds us if we haven't really forgiven someone completely. And that doesn't, I mean, it could be the enemy's voice that's giving us false guilt because we have forgiven them.
Right.
But maybe God can show his love by just saying, you know, have you really thought about forgiving this person? Have you really, forgiven this person? And are you ready to forgive yourself for thinking about it so much?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good point, Don. I think you're right. Because we can always blame the enemy that he's lying to us and he's telling us this. But there's the other part of it is God wants us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. He made every cell that's in us. And so because of that, he knows, he will remind us of those things, because he wants us to grow. He wants us to grow into his likeness. So he will give us those opportunities for growth. And so those will be brought up until that's been cleared away, you know, that we have released all of that. So I think you're right, Don. I think that's been my what I've known him to be like. We always get more opportunities to learn and to grow, even when it hurts, and that's okay. Count it all joy, as it says in James.
That's which, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
It's good. So, what are some practical ways that we can show God's love to others? Or is that pushing the topic too far? Because I know the focus is on God's love, but we redirect that love to others because God loves us. Mm-hmm. Are there things that we as Christians need to focus more on, in your opinion, to show that love?
Yeah, I would say outside of the four walls of the sanctuary, to be boots on the ground, and as Paul admonished Timothy to be ready in season and out of season.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's a word from God, or you know what God would have you do at that moment. That's what I call like divine appointments.
Yeah.
You know, people are really in need of God's love, whether to be able to realize it for the first time, or like we mentioned earlier, that to listen to the word of God rather than the word of the enemy saying that you're not worthy, mm-hmm. that you can't do this because, or you know, I get those thoughts even driving over here, like, you know, why are we doing this? Should I be doing this? Or, you know, you get doubt. I guess that's what it is. You doubt yourself, and that's not from God.
Right.
That's not from God.
I think there's, Don. I think there's lots of opportunities because we're hurting as a nation. We're hurting as a world. We don't respect each other. We don't know how to show kindness. I think that's one of the first things, is showing kindness to one another. Seeing people that are there instead of turning your head, like the Good Samaritan actually saw the need and responded, and that's God's love. And that's what we're so lacking right now in this country and in this world, is that he gives us love to give it out. He gives us love to give it out. Like I tell the story about my wife who was in a wheelchair for the last couple years of her life. And what God showed me by her being in the wheelchair is that I need to see people in wheelchairs as people needing God's love and needing to be validated as a person. I see you and I say hello to those people and those kind of things. It's not a big deal, but to show kindness, as I've told Kevin in the past, you know, they used to ask, well, what's your gifting, or what's your ministry? And I always say, Kevin knows what I'm going to say, is I always say, everyone I meet is my ministry.
Everyone.
Everyone. Yeah. Everyone I come in contact with can be a recipient of God's love. If I let that flow through me, and nothing can flow through me unless I've received it from God to give it out. I mean, it's real simple. I mean, I'm a simple guy, you know, and I don't try to make more out of it. He just wants us to touch people.
That's right.
He wants us, and this pandemic has taken all that away, but we can still touch people with kind words and loving words, because if we're out and about, you know, I always get an opportunity, even if I'm on the phone and I'm talking to somebody, I'll say, well, God bless you. And they'll say, God bless you back, or they'll say, you know, something else, you know, that they... You know, but I want to show kindness to people, and so we have opportunities all the time.
Right. Even that simple, it's not a simple phrase, but God bless you.
Yeah.
Can even open up a whole conversation.
That's right.
You know, if the person is on the edge of thinking, wow, somebody cares, you know, and which we do, I mean, as Christians.
And that's a critical, you said the most critical word there, is that we care.
That's
because
right.
He cares for us. You know, I think about during the time that my wife was with the ALS, and God loved me so much during the 7 years that I was dealing with Lou Gehrig's disease with my wife, that I didn't get sick in 7 years. I mean, I had divine health for 7 years. And he knew that I had to have divine health because I wouldn't have other people. I mean, he always provided enough. He gave me enough strength that I could make it through that. So then I could love the people coming in. So I was always sharing the gospel. Right. All the nurses that came in.
Plus a tremendous loss of sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And, you would stand in for when the home care people couldn't show up.
Right.
You were the home care.
Yeah, I was always, I always did.
You were always the home care person.
Right. There was only 2 days out of the last year that she was alive, and I had coverage for around-the-clock nurses, but couldn't get around-the-clock nurses. They just weren't there. So I was always doing a shift. And I remember during the middle of the night, a nurse came up to me. She said, you know, she had the stomach flu. And she said, I got to go. You know, I got to go. And then when she came back, this is what I love, because testimonies are so important to talk about God's love.
Yeah.
She came back two days later, and she said, well, didn't you get sick? And I said, no. I said, God loves me, and he took care of me. And he knew that I needed to take care of my wife, Cheryl, so I did not get sick. So he knows. And that's one of those examples. And talk about an impact that has on everybody around you. It's like they overcame by the blood of the lamb and the word of their testimony. So we need to testify. We need to tell about what God has done in our life. And and that was an ongoing opportunity for me, because I was under stress continually. You know, like Kevin was saying, I averaged 4 hours a night of sleep. And mostly for those 4 hours, I had to be on call, because she would have her trach would be clogged or something. And so I had to, it was two people that needed to take care of her. So,
right.
So I did that, but it's only by God's love and his grace and his strength, because I didn't have any strength left. He provided the strength that I needed. So that's kind of Don?
That's a very tangible expression of God's love. And sometimes people get the idea, God loves us. I mean, he's up there and he's looking at us and it's cool. But you're talking about he actually got involved in keeping you healthy.
That's right.
That's right.
And that's like so tangible, so hands-on in terms of God's love. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and he's kept, you know, that's why I love doing this, because we can testify about what he's done in our lives.
Right.
You know, I remember coming back from a church conference and driving back from the Twin Cities on I-35, and it was just one side of the road. It was two lane because they were working on the other part of the freeway. And I had a car that had a couple of recall notices, and one was the driver's seatbelt. It wouldn't latch, you know. So here I was driving a vehicle where the seatbelt wouldn't latch, and driving along, and I hit a deer at 65 miles an hour.
Whoa!
And so, first off, the deer didn't fly up. It was a big doe. Didn't fly up and come through the windshield. That was the first thing. My wife did immediately when we hit this deer. She put her hand in front of me, in front of my stomach, about 12 inches in front.
Wow. And
by doing that, because she was praying, she said, I prayed the whole time, is that I did not move an eighth of an inch in that seat from that impact. And we did a 360. We did a 360 and went, we went the other direction. We were facing the other way. But I did not move, because I knew God was in the van. Angels were surrounding me, and I was safe. And that's there's no other explanation. I should have gone through the window. The deer should have come through. But I was shaken afterwards. I'll tell you, I was shaken, because we hit that deer at 65 miles an hour.
I was told that when that, in those type of accidents, you know, a large percentage of people have their neck broke.
Yeah.
You know, because of the deer coming through the window.
Well, it's just like you with your PT Cruiser going up the shore.
And that was another example.
Yeah.
I was doing 65, 70 miles an hour up Highway 61. And, you know, when I tell this story, I find out there's this thing out there, the Highway 61 Angels, you know, because I'm not... we're not the only ones. Deer is the one animal that takes more human lives than any other animal in the United States, anyway. And it's all because they come in through the front window of your car. I was going to, I got a call from the pastor of a church, and he said he wanted me to, at some point in the service, do a little talk and make an altar call. So I said, sure, I'd be honored to do that. Mm-hmm. And so my son Mark and I were in a PT Cruiser, which is a small car. You notice I don't drive small cars anymore. my car is a Dodge, and it's a Dodge Nitro that's like a Jeep with a big hood. Anyway, I was driving up the shore. It was a stick shift, and I hit this deer at 65, 70 miles an hour. The deer just came out of nowhere like they always do. They run and they think they're going to jump over the car or something. And it came in the front window. I mean, I have scars on my face from the bones from that deer. And I was knocked unconscious. And my son was freaked out. He didn't, all the little glass pieces.
Well, all the glass that flew
was
in.
Just everywhere. And the only thing the only thing I remember is the ambulance ride. They were trying to shove something up my nose for air, and I had that glass in there, and I was going like, that hurts. He says, yeah, it's going to hurt. But it was the glass was picked out of me at the hospital and everything from that. But the car was pulled over in neutral with the handbrake on. I did come out of consciousness, in and out of consciousness, and, my son was freaked out. I was thinking, how can I comfort him? I just get so emotional.
It's okay, Kevin,
The angel of the Lord was standing by my son and comforting him, and cell phones wouldn't work in that area, in that spot. I mean, that was my first reaction. Let's call for help. And the angel of the Lord comforted him.
Yeah.
And evidently, called the ambulance because it was there like immediately.
Wow.
And then when I hear stories like Sandy too, it's just, people have to realize the love of God that, he'll step out of basically out of his daily routine for you.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I like this. I like this. I was just reading that God's love is stated 210 times in the Bible. But I was just reading with Romans 1:21 to 2:2, and it piggybacks on what Don was saying. Jesus' love for me makes me want to live his law of love. So how do we behave as a result of this? What do we do? Do we see this in the world today? If not, why not? But how do we do this personally? And that's a question for all three of us. And I was talking about, I can't go by anyone that I see in a wheelchair that I won't bend down and see them eye to eye and say, hi, how are you doing today? What's your name? To acknowledge and to validate that I see them, because people want to be seen. The thing is, we've isolated ourselves from other people. And I don't think Jesus isolated himself except when he was praying to the Father and getting his alone time. But he was always among the people. He was always out there. He was. So how do we behave as a result of knowing that God is love and he's given us this love and that we can experience it? And so how do we give that out? I gave the example of the wheelchair, and I gave it as a result of taking care of my wife. Giving things to other people. When I just sold my house, and I told the guy, it was a first-time home buyer, and I said, I just want to bless you. I'm going to leave all this stuff so you don't have to buy it. And he said, all he could do was he just said, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So it's just real, real simple stuff. I was reading in a devotion today where he tells me, he says, realize that everything that I have and everything about me is because of him. It belongs to him. So everything I have is his, and my very being is his. So when I know that I belong to him, I can be free to do what he's called me to do, and he gives me the strength to do it. So it's a good deal. I enjoy giving out to other people because he's been so generous to me with everything. He just loves me, and I just receive that.
Yeah. I think sometimes we can also try to picture when a person is difficult, just to try to picture what possible things they may have gone through in the past that made them that way.
Exactly.
You know, what happened in childhood or when they were teenagers that might have influenced them. And that's not to excuse them, but to simply look beyond the immediate situation and try to see things as God sees them. And he understands those things completely. We may only be able to guess, but we can also say, God, you know, and help me to love this person in spite of that, like you love them.
Right. And what's worked really well for me is I'll ask people, well, tell me your story. You know, people love to tell their story. It's like, where did you grow up? You know, how was it growing up? And those kind of things, because everybody wants to tell their story because everyone has a unique story. But that takes time, and we have to listen. Yeah. And we're not, we're not really good at listening to people.
Yeah.
We're really not that good at that. But God knows our heart, and he hears us. And the thing that I've realized, and I've been talking a lot today, I was thinking, I need to listen more because
that's
I want
right.
to hear from you guys. But a good listener is a godly attribute. It
that's
really
right.
is. We need to listen to each
yeah.
other.
And that's, in the Bible, the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Just
perceived
Jesus as to be a prophet because
yes.
he sat down and listened to her.
Yes. Oh, that gives me, ooh, thank you, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
That's,
yeah.
Yes.
And she had to go back to town and proclaim it.
That's right.
She said, he knew everything about me. You know, we need to listen to that person. Look at, because of that testimony, it changed the whole nature of that city, that village.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
That's a gem,
beautiful.
Kevin. That's a gem, Kevin. I love that.
Thank you.
Yes.
This was recorded live before a holy audience.
Amen.
And we remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And until we meet, greetings and blessings to the church that meets at your house.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hear Gospel Network is an intergenerational, Christ-centered, not-for-profit internet mission church. A network of believers from many different backgrounds who are passionate about reaching out to others. Your Voice in the Wilderness, a church online since 98, now known as pgn.church, operates 100% on your tax-deductible donations.